Good evening and welcome to the annual joint meeting with the supervisors and the citizen boards and authorities. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2026. The time is now 6:31. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll begin with roll call, and we'll do the roll call of the Board of Supervisors, starting with my left.
Bill Johnway.
Greg Wax.
Carol Kenny.
And Tina Garzillo. For chairperson's comments this evening, I have no comments for this evening, so we'll get right into the presentations. The group that's with us this evening for the first session is Public Safety. And before you start, if you could go around the boardroom table and introduce yourselves, and then the floor is yours.
Thanks, Tina. Jen Schauble, chairperson.
Lieutenant Chris Dolga, Upper Marion Police Department and Emergency Management Coordinator.
Sergeant Jared Reiner.
Lizzie Genoway, Secretary.
Charles Rossi, Public Safety Citizen.
Patty Jo Taylor, Public Safety.
Jeff Matthew, Public Safety.
Ty Matthew, Student Rep.
Thanks, Tina. So thanks as always for having us this evening. Always a pleasure to be here. So introducing tonight, Talia Matthew, who just introduced herself. She is the first student representative on the Public Safety Citizen Board. We did previously have one from the Police Citizen Advisory Board back before 2019, who still is with us today as a regular member, Lizzie Genoway. So if you recall, every year we do this in the same format. I recap the second half of 2025 since we were here last, and then the first half of 2026. So starting with Department of Public Safety, the incident command post was run over the July 4th weekend. I would anticipate that it will be run again this July 4th weekend is coming up, especially since it's the 250th anniversary of our country. Emergency Operations Center, ironically, this took place on July 8th, which was one of our Public Safety Board meetings, meeting nights, first heavy storm and tornado warning. Department of Public Safety provided support for the Upper Marion Boat Club's Regatta and the King of Prussia Race. Marking access points also for the Schuylkill River West Trail for a quicker response time, which as a former bicycler, that comes in very, very handy because you don't always know where you are, but having the mile markers on there is a great upgrade for sure. So for Upper Marion Police Department updates, two anticipated retirements from the police department by the end of 2026. One promotion last year, Lieutenant Chris Dolga from sergeant to lieutenant. Added four new officers, Justin Fisher, Matthew McCormick, Jack Riley, and Michael Fucci. And recognizing two UMPD officers of the year, and this differs a little bit from the outline that you all have in front of you, 2024 officer of the year, which was announced after our meeting last year, Detective Jay Nakahara, and then police officer of the year for 2025, which was just announced last week, Nick Tramo. Recently, a lot of you've probably seen not only through the Crime Watch updates through that app and through those emails, but also all over Facebook, the FBI LEADA trilogy. The entire command staff completed this training in 2026, and so the department command received the trilogy award. Huge accomplishment there, something to be very proud of. Continuing with all of the community measures that the department always undertakes, National Night Out in October, Drug Take Back Day also in October. The Crime Watch, which I just recently referenced, it's the information flow continues to residents and businesses. I know a lot of people see the updates on Facebook, but for those who either aren't on social media at all or just don't go on there very frequently, you can also get email updates, which I happen to like, especially if I'm traveling for work and I'm way behind on my social media world. It's nice to still be caught up with what's going on. So I really enjoy the Crime Watch website. Cop Camp, hugely popular, ran in June of 2025 with approximately 25 to 30 participants. Always a popular undertaking, and I think we'll do it again this year. Mm-hmm. Riding with the Cops, a second year, was in July 2025. Again, a huge success and something that the kids really, really get excited about in the township. rapping with a cop. This was new in December of 2024. It was done again in December of 2025, and again, a big success at the mall right before the holidays, especially if people don't like to rap. And big shout out to all that the police department does to support the Upper Marion Emergency Aid Toy Drive. I'm also on the board of Upper Marion Emergency Aid, and we could not do it without the support of the police department. They collect so many lovely toys. The room is, Freedom Hall is jammed full every single year, and our Upper Marion Emergency Aid families benefit from it, and some of our community covered families as well. So it's just really such a great day, and I couldn't do it without Susan's help. 1,851 hours of overtime were worked in the six-week holiday time period at the King of Prussia Mall, which was a 151-hour increase from 2025. So again, a big presence at the mall, but that police presence really goes a long way towards maintaining order and keeping everything running smoothly at the mall during such a busy season. For fire and EMS updates, the mobile stroke unit came online October of 2025, and as of January 2026, had responded to over 47 stroke responses. Huge benefit for the township and surrounding communities that we have this. It enables life-saving measures in the event of a stroke much sooner than you would be able to get someone to the hospital. So we're really very lucky in Upper Marion to have such a service. Fire prevention night, always a great night in the giant parking lot every year, held every October. That continues to be a great success. King of Prussia Volunteer Fire Company 75th anniversary was celebrated in October. Again, huge accomplishment, a lot of rich tradition and history there to be proud of. The strategic staffing plan continues, where the EMS captain is partnered with a firefighter EMT to achieve a third truck out 24/7, 365. It just increases the number of calls that can be responded to by Upper Marion personnel instead of having to wait for another municipality to be able to have the bandwidth to respond. That additional coverage allowed 496 additional calls to be responded to by the township. 158 of those were transported, which allowed us to serve our residents much more efficiently than, again, having to, you know, be out of the township. For EMS staffing, this is something that, we've talked about extensively over the last few years, the difficulty in maintaining, you know, full EMS staff. So there's two full-time paramedics and two EMTs to man the mobile stroke unit 12 hours a day, 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 33% of the EMS roster is female. Christian Reiner was promoted to EMS captain. And we have new full-time EMS staff, Susan Boran, Jordan Maines, Jewel Singles, Daniel Baker, Christopher Yoakum, Misty Emerson, Michelle Bannon, Madison Foreman, Joseph Vogelsang, Tracy Senkow, and Donald Ellis III. Always great to be able to welcome new staff and have people who want to come and work in the township. Active EMS volunteers, we currently have 6, which is wonderful. It's not easy to maintain volunteers as people are so busy, but I'm happy that 6 people have the time and they want to come volunteer with us, where they'll really learn a lot. We do have an agreement in place with Montgomery County to help paramedic students with their ride time requirements, so we help by proctoring them. And then we have an EMS fellowship program with the UPenn medical doctor, Dr. McCardle. He's the assistant command doctor for 356. We launched the EMS Training Center at the Bidler Road Station. Since we met last year, student training number 2, 13 passed the national registry. And last I spoke with Jim Johnson for student training number 3, 7 were signed up, but we need 10 to hold the class. So hoping that, you know, relatively soon we get 3 more willing participants, and then we can get more EMTs trained and out on the street, either as volunteers or as paid EMTs. The new ambulances, I have an update. It was targeted originally for April delivery. It is now scheduled for July delivery. I spoke with Blaine earlier today on that. And then for fire staffing, 2nd female firefighter was added to the roster. That means that 10% of the firefighters are female, which is above industry standards. So great progress there as well. The township recently added a 3rd fire marshal, Paul Brown. He's out and working. He started with us a few weeks ago. And the volunteer population remains strong in the fire department. So with each meeting that we have, so we meet quarterly, as you all know, we always talk about the general plans and the updates for the township. So two of the items that we've spoken about in the last year, data centers, always, you know, cause for discussion, and Facebook has certainly been lit up about that recently. And also the connections that's opening up in December of 2026. Last meeting, which would have been in January of 2026, we spoke extensively about connections that's going in over on that side of the township. And the citizen board members, we all expressed some concerns, certainly curiosity, how it's going to run, how the communication will be with, you know, police, fire, and EMS, and how things will progress. So we always thank you for allowing us to come here annually. I personally thank you for the early time slot this year. Big win. But no, we really appreciate the fact that you support not only the public safety department so greatly here in the township, but also the fact that you allow the public safety advisory board to exist and allowed us to add a student member as well. With that, are there any questions?
I'll start. No questions, but a couple of comments. First of all, thank you everyone for your participation on the board. The meetings are clearly interesting when we start the dialogue about what's happening and why are things being done certain ways and so on. So I appreciate everyone's input and involvement in those discussions. I did run through the March public safety report. Chief Lease gave me an advanced copy of it. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments about it. We sometimes hear that Upper Marion has all this crime problem. Yet, when I looked at the data, there were less than a handful of what we would call part one or serious type crimes. I mean, literally, less than five. And I think that what we have to understand, and that's over a quarter. That's not just today, that's just over a quarter. So I think that what we have to understand that while we may be a magnet for things to happen here because of location, 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 at the end of the day, our police department does a wonderful job at managing the challenges, and the technology that's been applied in the past 5 or 6 years is just unbelievable about how you can actually detect problems well before they come to fruition of any kind of a challenge for you or for anyone else. So I just wanted to mention that. Also wanted to mention that the ambulance deliveries, that's not just a problem for us, but industry-wide, they're seeing delays and delays and delays. But this is now a delay of a year. And talking to Blaine and Chief Johnson the other day about it, maybe we have to look at different vendors in the future to eliminate that lengthy, extensive, unnecessary delay.
Do you know if we have opportunity for that? Are there many vendors that...
There are multiple vendors. What has happened is basically some equity groups have bought up the companies and they've consolidated from 8 or 10 down to 3. However, there are some that are actually able to provide them faster than others. So I think that's... And Chief Johnson's aware of this and is explained. So they're going to take a look at that. But I think that from our standpoint, one of the big challenges that we as the board have involves vehicles. Whether it's a police vehicle, a standard interceptor or Tahoe, or whether it's an ambulance or a fire engine, access to supply, cost, which they're increasing. I think the last I saw, Chris, a police car is now somewhere in a neighborhood of 60, 70 grand. A regular Ford Interceptor, Tahoes are 90-something.
Something like that, yeah.
So when you start looking at that, that's not what we budgeted a couple of years back when we started to do capital budgeting. Ambulances, $400,000. You know, we used to buy them, Jen, 90 grand, not that long ago.
Yeah.
So they're changing. Of course, fire trucks, we just bought one last year to be delivered 4 years from now for $1.2 million. So that's an issue that we have to take under great consideration because the cash flow into the accounts just isn't there to sustain that. And the trucks break, so you have to have provisions to keep them running, and the cars break. I was on the countywide EMS meeting the other day where the plan and study was reintroduced with some concerns. I'm proud to say that Upper Marion is not in the problem area. We're right in the sweet spot of staffing. We're in the sweet spot of delivery model. We're in the sweet spot of everything. And it was noted in those discussions around the county. And one thing that is probably the most challenging are what are known as automated vehicle locating devices, which are in the computers in the vehicles. So you're getting your dispatches, you're monitoring the incident, you're able to type in responses and so on. We are ahead of the game by having that available. There are a couple of major squads in the county that do not have that, and it's hindering closest ambulance response to patients. So we're ahead of the game because the suggestion was that all municipalities have in their agreements with their ambulance firms to have mandatory AVL locators in the vehicles and have them on during operational times. So we'll be seeing that at Mankato as well in the next 30 days. And the last thing, just to bring you up to date on a couple of things, over the first 3 months of the year, the police department responded to 88 calls a day. Fire responded to an average of 4 calls a day. And EMS responded to an average of 12 calls a day. And those calls do not include where fire and EMS responded jointly for an automobile accident with injuries, for cardiac arrest. So the numbers are a little bit skewed, but it goes into the primary agency at the primary type of incident. So bottom line is our public safety department is extremely busy, and it's not to downplay emergency management, Lieutenant Dolga, but the department does one hell of a job.
Yes, they do a great job. They are led well, you know, by Blaine, and we take such pains to make sure that we get the right people in the right spots. The interview processes, as you know, for all, you know, police, fire, and EMS are all lengthy, but that length of time that we take to find the right people really pays off. Chris, Jared, and I have sat on many panels together, and it takes a while to find the right people, and sometimes you interview 44 and come out with one or two that's really worth talking to again, but it pays off to take the time.
Right, rather than diluting it, and absolutely. Yeah, you wait for the appropriate
better to
person.
Better wait for the right person, yes. Yep, and get them trained and trained well.
Yes.
I would add
and
to that.
It's harder to do from the other end.
Yes.
If someone isn't a good fit, to
absolutely
not have them be a part of the organization any longer.
That sentiment also permeates throughout the entire culture of the organization, quite honestly. And we recognize every time you see something in the news that maybe didn't go so well, that's, I would say universally here, the answer is that's why we put so much effort into hiring good people. And we appreciate all the support we have at all levels of government to do so. So thank you.
I have a question about the mobile stroke unit. There were 47
so as of,
calls where that was
yeah,
used.
As of January, there were 47 stroke responses as of January 2026.
Do you ever follow up? Do you have any idea if all of those people survived or if some did not? Do you
we would have to
have
ask
that
Captain
information?
Johnson that. I don't know
okay.
that we would be privy to that because
okay.
private health information.
Okay.
So I don't know that we would necessarily get that
yeah.
response unless somebody came back around,
yeah.
you know, to thank the ambulance company.
But you got them to the hospital alive. That's a start.
It is, mm-hmm. absolutely. And time is of the essence
yeah.
of strokes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
yep.
I think we were all here the day that we, you know, showed off the mobile stroke unit. What
yeah.
a fabulous piece of equipment.
Absolutely.
Highly trained staff.
Absolutely.
You know, certainly a huge benefit to this community, especially as the population ages and also as people have problems, you know, younger in life.
It also, in certain situations, responds to other injuries besides strokes,
absolutely.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not paid for by township tax dollars.
That is also correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so no, it's yeah. obviously really a tremendous benefit for the community. I just want to
yeah.
touch on crime real quick, and please correct me if I'm wrong. When I last looked at the numbers, I think that our crime, the amount of crimes committed were essentially comparable to what the numbers were pre-pandemic.
I can't speak on that honestly, but I believe you're correct.
Maybe a little bit more in certain categories and a little bit less in certain categories, but I think they were at pre-pandemic numbers. They spiked after the pandemic and then have basically come back down, which is certainly a testament to UMPD. It's also important to note that the population of Upper Marion Township now is greater than it was before the pandemic. So there's a difference between crime and crime rate. And yes, there are always going to be certain categories that are going to be inflated, like shoplifting for a very obvious reason. So I just have one more question. I may have missed it. I didn't see it here in the list of events. And I know it's not technically organized by UMPD, but is UMPD doing Race for Peace this year? Actually, is Race for Peace even happening this year? I haven't seen anything.
To my knowledge, yes. I think we just put something out on Crime Watch and social media today. Did I see that go out?
Not sure if it was today.
I have to confirm with the community-oriented policing division, but yes, I do believe they're doing it again. I think this is the 10th anniversary, if I'm correct.
It's been around for a few years. Yeah, that's
a
really fun event.
For a while.
Yeah, it's really informative at the mall for anybody who may be watching Saturday. I don't know which day it is, but I know it's typically a Saturday, at the mall. So
yeah, we'll confirm that, but I'm pretty sure it just went out maybe an hour or two ago.
So okay. We'll look for that Crime Watch.
One more question. I think you mentioned very quickly something about data centers. Are there specific concerns that you all might have about data centers? And if so, what might they be?
Yeah, so I can just speak up based on what we spoke about with Bill. Was very informative at our last meeting, and I learned some new things about data centers such that our personal electric and water rates would increase, which I was not aware of. So that was a little bit like, never thought of that. I think people, just from people that I've spoken with in the township, they're concerned about the space that they take up, the noise, the increase in the draw on utilities. I mean, at some point we run out of, it would jeopardize potentially our own supply. So I think people are just generally concerned. And I think everybody that I've spoken to is looking forward to learning more about them and how they would really affect life here in the township. I know every township is facing this. I was emailing back and forth with Bill the other day on this. Every township is facing this. Every news article I read, whether it's Limerick, whether it's Royersford, whether it's, Philadelphia, we're all facing the same issue, and nobody really knows what it will do to their community. So I think people are just generally concerned. But if anybody else from the board has any concerns that they'd like to talk about, I think we should.
I think it's the same kind of concern that you're talking about.
Yeah. It's the unknowns that are involved in this. And I think a couple of the other things that, in addition to what you mentioned, are also the air, not just the air quality, but I hear that it's like a heat sink, but that there's a lot of additional heat generated. I'm not sure. I've read different articles about how many degrees that the surrounding area goes up, and also about emissions from the diesel that's used for the backup generators or other things. So there are a lot of questions going around, and just for everybody's information, if you didn't see it already on Facebook, signs are going to be out shortly, if they're not out already, in the area around Renaissance, where people are going to be questioning and probably opposing the data centers.
Exactly. So
it's a hot issue.
It is a very hot issue.
It really
issue.
Is.
Yes.
And, we're all learning about it, and we're all trying to keep up and learn as much as we can so we can make the best decisions. Mm-hmm. And we did pass an ordinance just recently about data centers. But when we passed that, we did it with the idea that it's not permanent, it's not written in stone, that we will go back to the ordinance and amend it as necessary as we learn more and we find out what we need to do to protect our residents and to accommodate the new technologies. So
I just wanted to mention,
I noticed in the report the school-related initiatives that are being undertaken by the police department. And I noticed two. One you have called school checks, and the other one deals with the cameras that were placed in the buses. And I believe it's important for the public to understand they shouldn't be passing school buses and they shouldn't be doing bad things around school buses. So if you could share 30 seconds on that, Chris, probably be helpful.
Sure. So the Community Policing Division coordinates that effort, and ultimately they've partnered with Upper Marion School District and First Student to ensure that there's good, solid oversight and enforcement over traffic surrounding school buses. And what we found is, because, you know, ultimately, over the years, and dating back to when I was in the community policing division, you'd put a police officer on a bus or behind a bus, and when you're in a police car, nobody's going to run past the bus stop, right? So this gives us an opportunity to partner with the school and keep a watchful eye on all the buses, and we see what kind of activities out there. Now, it's new to us. Quite honestly, we're still figuring out, working through the system, and what's a violation and what's not. But it's, so far, it's been excellent. It's been eye-opening to us how many people actually don't obey the school bus laws. And that's the surprising part, because I think most of us on a daily basis think, like, why would I go through? Of all things I would do wrong on the road, that wouldn't be it, but people do it. And sometimes, you know, it's just errant carelessness, and other times it's willful. So we're trying to figure out how to parse that out, but it has been very eye-opening, and it's gonna help us, I think, enforce those things better and develop even better, stronger, already strong, but enhance that strong relationship with the school district and protecting our students.
I know we're getting close to the end of the time limit. I just had a couple little quick ones, maybe quick answers. I was wondering about the riding with the cops. Is that all, you mentioned that it's for the children to be able to do the ride-alongs. Is that ever offered out to adults as well?
So riding with the cops was actually the bike ride with kids.
Oh, it was a bike
yeah,
ride?
Yeah, it was a bike ride with
okay.
the police. Yeah. So there have been specific circumstances where we've done ride-alongs. Usually it's through an organization that's connected, just because of the concern for safety. We try to avoid having the public get in a police car, because we can't control what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, quite honestly.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, misunderstood that. That's for bikes. But, well, that's a great program. And then I was wondering about the 150-hour increase over at the mall. Is that because the mall itself is just getting busier, so that ratio works out that you need more coverage, or are there other things that are happening at the mall that's necessitating having that extra overtime coverage, or is it being requested?
It's a little bit. So we maintain a really good relationship with security management at the mall, and every year we meet, usually starting in August and September, and we start talking about what the hours are going to look like and what they're looking for. Some of it's honestly a function of the calendar, and depending on where the holiday season falls. And then some of it's a function of where we determine maybe gaps were in coverage the year prior, where we can increase presence. But there was nothing specifically that drove it, other than, you know, an organized effort to have a good presence every year.
Okay. One thing I wanted to comment on that wasn't brought up is the grant that we were awarded for the social worker to come in to work with the police department. That I thought that would be important for the public to know that's on board. I know the person hasn't started yet.
Correct.
I'm correct. And I don't know what that time frame, and you may not even know, I'm not sure.
But I know we're progressing, certainly.
You're progressing, okay.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that'd be worthwhile, especially for community policing, to have that ability to have a social worker come along with the police department at situations that would be.
Yes, we're still working through operationally how that's going to look and work, but it's nice to know we're going to have an extra outside resource there of somebody that has some expertise that we may not have in specific situations. And also they're going to be there and available for us and all public safety personnel as well, which is a component of that we don't talk about all the time, but it's nice to know that we have, because there are a lot of police, fire, and EMS employees out there that are encountering challenging circumstances every day, and it's nice for them to have an outlet.
Sure, and especially domestic situations, that is all emotional kind of situation. So being able to pass that along to someone's a social worker. And I believe that the grant that was awarded to the township is for 2 years of salary for that social worker.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
So that'll be wonderful. Okay.
Thank you.
Looks like we just hit it right at 7 o'clock. I don't know if you have any last comments that anyone would like to make. And
just thank you so much for having us each year.
And thank you for all your contributions to the board. Appreciate that very much. And now, this time, we will take a brief recess, and then we'll convene with the next citizen board in a few moments.